My guest at this time is Marjorie Dannenfelser. She is the president and chairman of the board at the Susan B. Anthony List. It's a pro-life organization that specifically looks to advance pro-life women in the political arena. We want to get her thoughts on a couple of hot-button issues today. Number one, how abortion is impacting the hotly contested Virginia governor's race, which will go to the voters on Tuesday. And we also want to get her thoughts on a federal judge striking down parts of the hotly debated Texas laws passed earlier this year related to abortion. And Marjorie, thanks so much for being with us.
I've really been looking forward to it. Thank you, Greg.
Well, let's start with Virginia. If you look at the polls, they're all over the place. It could be 17, it could be 4, it could be 7, it could be 12. The only thing that is consistent is that the Democrat in the race, Terry McAuliffe, seems to be ahead in these surveys, although the most recent one is the narrowest of margins at the 4 points from Quinnipiac. One of the big issues here, of course, is anyone who lives in or near Virginia knows that Terry McAuliffe has been putting up ads for months now, really going after Ken Cuccinelli for being an extremist on social issues, and the number one being abortion and contraception. A lot of the ads saying that Cuccinelli, while a state senator, pushed to ban contraception. Cuccinelli says that's a flat-out lie. I'm sure you've been investigating all of this. What's the facts here?
Yes, it is as close as you say. I think the end is probably more accurate, given what we know about Virginia. It is very, very close. It'll be a complete base turnout election, meaning everyone who really loves basically what Cuccinelli stands for is poised to get out. They're very excited about him. The question is, will that be in bigger numbers than the McAuliffe base, who really loves what McAuliffe stands for? And you point out a very good point about how this election has gone on social issues, the sort of mythical war on women theme that worked in the presidential election. McAuliffe has spent well over a quarter of his budget on just that theme. Cuccinelli has not. So he's been outspent, in epic terms on this issue. And so in the minds of voters, they do wonder, does he really believe in outlawing contraception? It's an emphatic no. It's simply not true. No matter how many times Cuccinelli says it's simply not true, they keep running the ads, and all the fact checkers say Tim's right, but it doesn't really seem to make that much of a difference, especially near the end. It's very difficult to clear up misconceptions. So it is an issue. Going on the offense means that he should be, has been to some extent, and we have been going after McAuliffe on his very unpopular views when it comes to abortion, and that is taxpayer funding all the way up till the end of pregnancy, and won't oppose sex selection abortions. He really is the man of the Democratic Party who embraces the platform, which is that. So it is a clear choice, and that they have very different views. But in terms of how the election has gone, he has really banked on increasing Ken's negatives on this, and Ken has tried to stick to jobs in the economy. I don't think people know exactly what McAuliffe's views are, because he's done a really good job of obfuscating what those views are.
What do you make of the fact that he is on the record to the extent that he is on this, and that he doesn't try to shade it? Because if you look at opinion polls, even a lot of people who believe abortion should be legal, they're against, for the most part, late-term abortions. A lot of people who are classify themselves as pro-choice don't like taxpayer funding of abortion, and certainly all the way up to full term. So what do you make of the fact that he is unabashed about holding those positions and is perfectly fine having that out there?
Well, when you really do know what the records of these two are, Cuccinelli's campaign and his views really resonate more with Virginians and even the most liberal parts of Virginia, Northern Virginia, metropolitan areas. He does well every time when the actual facts of the matter are on the table. What I make of it is that money can do a lot to obfuscate and to muddy what your personal position is and what the other guy's position is. And I would say Planned Parenthood has done an excellent job. They're authorized by the campaign to speak for McAuliffe. They've done a pretty darn good job of flooding the airwaves and the media markets with a message that is, number one, untrue, and also is on the offense. And of course, McAuliffe has evaded every question by every reporter when he's asked, even in debates. He simply won't talk about it. So we've been doing all we can at Susan B. Anthony List to make sure the record is clear. And our base knows what it is. People in our world who really know him, know Ken's record. He's an elected official here. He's truly of Virginia. They know him. And so I think that's why the polls have narrowed so much. In the end, it comes down to not what somebody says on a poll, but who actually gets out of bed, gets in the car, goes to the precinct, casts their vote. And so that's our goal now, is to inspire and get those people out and realize that voting for Cuccinelli is a very positive move that reflects our own values. And then they call us. You know, he's running New York. He's running various places. He doesn't want voters really to know most of the things about his past and also what his position on abortion is.
Very quickly, just to clarify, because we've talked about what Terry McAuliffe has portrayed Ken Cuccinelli as supporting when it comes to the issue of abortion. But as you mentioned, Cuccinelli's been in office as a state senator since 2002. He's obviously been attorney general for the past 4 years. What is his track record on the issue?
Well, his track record has been a couple of things have been very important, and I would say probably the banner issue for him is trying to apply basic safety standards and accepted medical standards to abortion facilities across the state. And that just means cleanliness, making sure that there is emergency equipment to help women who are in distress. We know from everything that's happening in the country that this is a very real problem, that women are dying in these clinics, that there's, you know, almost unspeakable treatment of late-term abortions of the child themselves, the way they're disposed of, but also the women in those clinics, that there's 80 sites of clinic of substandard conditions. And Cuccinelli did a very good job of ushering this legislation in to get those places cleaned up, to provide some standards that are at least up to, say, a dental office standard. And so I would say that that's been his, that if there's nothing else, that would be the thing that most people know about his record. And it's one of integrity. I mean, he doesn't love abortion clinics, obviously, but he certainly wants to make sure that women who go in there don't go in there with fear that if there's trouble, that they're going to get an infection or that they won't have their life saved if they are in deep trouble.
Let's shift over to Texas now. And, of course, the fierce battle that played out over the summer, State Senator Wendy Davis with her famous filibuster that forced an extra special session of the Texas legislature. Ultimately, the plan that provided for a number of things, the most prominent of which, of course, was limiting abortions to under 20 weeks, because many different professionals believe that that is at the very latest when the unborn can feel pain. This judge in this case, federal judge Lee Yackel, he's a George W. Bush appointee, struck down two of the provisions. One, requiring that abortion doctors have admitting privileges at a hospital within 30 miles of the abortion clinic. And they also say in the ruling here, the judge says, that the doctors do not have to abide strictly by FDA guidelines on how to administer drugs because they should have the flexibility to do what's best in the interest of their patient. What's your reaction to him striking down parts of this law?
Well, the biggest problem is that when it comes to abortion, the institution of abortion seems to be elevated over the real medical interests of the women many times. So deviating from FDA standards, deviating from common procedures where if a woman is in trouble, truly in trouble, that she be have access to the full complement of medical help that she really must have. This is not just some random reason this has happened. It's because of what we're seeing in clinics all over the country, where even clinicians in these clinics at Planned Parenthood in Delaware and in Texas with really notorious late-term abortionist Dr. Corpin, that these tragedies, these really horrible stories, are not just stories. They're real women in distress who need the assistance and full help. The idea that someone who purports to speak for women's rights, including judges, say that these are onerous and an undue burden on her right to abort really doesn't keep her interest in mind. It keeps the institution of abortion protected, perhaps. But I really believe there's no question in my mind that this is going to the court. What they did leave on the table is the most popular measure across the country on this issue, something that most European countries, almost every European country embraces, and that is some limit at some time during pregnancy, at any point. That was left on the table, and that has been passed in 13 states, passed in the House of Representatives, and is going to be introduced soon. They didn't touch that. That will also go to the Supreme Court, and we believe very strongly that eventually sooner rather than later, this will be in federal law. So I think that, you know, all of this is going to, this is all coming together and will be answered by the Supreme Court at some point, so hopefully sooner rather than later.
So you're more heartened than discouraged by this ultimately.
Ultimately, yes. I mean, do I think, you know, I used to be very pro-choice. I would have known, or, my, you know, known many women going into these clinics. Ultimately, do I think that their health and safety should be protected? Yes. That's the disheartening part. But the most heartening part is that you simply cannot, with a straight face as an elected official, argue convincingly and well against a late term restriction, protection of abortion. It's not good for children, obviously, and it's not good for women either. It's the most complicated procedure, and it's usually elective, despite what they say. They'll say that it's all these extreme cases. It's usually elective. That's what the data shows. That's where we're headed, and that is great news.
Marjorie, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate it greatly.
Me too. I look forward to it again.
Thank you. Marjorie Dannenfelser is the president and chairman at the Susan B. Anthony List, pro-life organization, specifically advancing pro-life women in the political arena. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.